reason I said that is because we've got a judge back there. And, you know, we've got a county commissioner here somewhere. And we have a judge. And I was going to tell her that our congregation is quite unique because we have folks that drive from Houston County, folks that drive from Montgomery County and Dixon County. But if you'd like to see Judge Ayers after the service, she's a godly woman. She brought her bodyguard. I would have him stand up, but his head almost hits the top of the ceiling of the church. Coach Ayers coaches at Belmont. Is that correct? Honored to have you all here this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. I wanted to ask you a question. We got a baby dedication in just a few minutes. That's Olivia, right? Yeah, can y'all lift that beautiful baby up and let, she's already trying to find my voice. Here's your pastor. Hi, sweetie. Look at that. Is she beautiful? We've got a baby dedication. We're going to take Holy Communion, and so I've got to move along really quick. Let me ask you all something. Salvation, because a lot of people are confused about salvation. You have different denominations, are all religions the same? And the answer is no, not all religions are the same. Jesus did what no other man has ever claimed to do or been able to do. Jesus claimed equality with God. Jesus forgave sin. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose from the grave. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, if all of that is a hoax, then you're just wasting your time today listening to me. But I believe that he did, but that's what I believe. So let me ask you something. For the last few weeks, except last week because of the snow, and the week before that, because I got sick. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Well, if you're saved and you know it, then your life should surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
How do you get saved? Let me ask you this, because a lot of you, evidently you believe you're going to go to heaven. Is that right?
Yes.
What do you base that assumption on? Oh, the Word of God. Oh, so y'all are a theological group. Word of God. So let me ask you this. Well, how about my good works? Would my good works, my good deeds, be enough to get me into heaven? Well, then why are so many people confused about good works and good deeds? Listen, good works and good deeds should always follow a genuine profession of faith in Jesus Christ. If I were a drunkard and I get saved, I should put on sobriety. The judge will like that. She'll give me an amen. If I'm a thief, I go to work. I stop stealing. If I'm a liar, I begin to tell the truth. There's something different that happens the moment somebody receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So there are not enough good deeds that we can do. Even though we should perform good deeds, good works, I've hired a lawyer to represent me. You've heard this before, haven't you? And his name is Jesus Christ. He's never lost a case. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So salvation is a free gift from God. Now let me ask you one more thing before we do our Bible confession. Just think about it. I don't want you to answer it. I just want you to think about it. If salvation is a free gift and you can't work your way to heaven, what about blessings? Can you earn blessings? And before you say no, come on and stand with me. That's what the message is all about. Can you be blessed? Can you earn blessings? The Bible, listen.
Give him a big hand.
Me as well. This is a new song, and y'all may have heard it somewhere. And normally, well, I got to plug this thing in. About that. That's what that chord's for. I thought you just drug it around with you and tied your guitar up so it wouldn't get away. All right. Oh, man, I tell you, I've just been nervous as everything. There you go. I know where I'm going, I'm done here on this earth. God's building me a mansion. We won't have to hurt. I see old St. Peter swing wide those pearly gates. I don't mean to sound ungrateful. God, I just pray. There's this one dirt road takes me back to a honey hole, 100-year-old white oak tree laying shade on me, picking blackberries off the vine, bob white whistling out through the pine. I can't wait to walk those streets of gold, but give me just one dirt road. Hang up mama's clothesline between those two old pine trees. Put some round bales in a hayfield and a bridge across that creek. Let it wind past that old white church where I gave my soul to you. End up at Granny's house. Amen, I'm good. I hope there's just one dirt road takes me back to a honey hole, 100-year-old white oak tree laying shade on me, picking blackberries off the vine, bob white whistling out through the pine. I can't wait to walk those streets of gold, but give me just one dirt road. Picking blackberries off the vine, bob white's whistling out through the pines. I can't wait to walk those streets of gold, but give me just one dirt road. Amen.
Jeff, Mike, and Mike. Got a baby dedication in a few minutes. By the way, you can remember we'll be on the radio Wednesday at 1:30. So the message that I'm preaching, the song that you just heard, will be rebroadcast on the Solid Gospel Station. I believe it's at 1:30 Wednesday, 105.1. I had something. Oh, here it is. Sister Mackie sent this to me. Well, she sent it to a lot of folks, and I'm going to read it to you. And by the way, we're in Matthew 25. Now, I'm going to try to keep it short. We've got communion, and I have a baby dedication, and I've been told, Judge, that the attention span of a Baptist is only about 20 minutes. So I've only got about 20 minutes to work with, and I'm already on the clock. I want to remind you that we're living in the last days. In the Bible, it doesn't matter what some politician says. It doesn't really matter what a preacher tells you. Just read the Bible for yourself, and sadly, many of us won't even do that. The Bible tells us we're living in the last days, and in the last days, evil in the old King James will wax worse and worse. 52%, now this is just in our own denomination, 52% of attendees are over the age of 50. I usually do this at funerals, and I've got a funeral tomorrow, so pray for the Perry family. Carl Perry was a former assistant fire chief, and he died not that long ago, and his wife passed away, I believe, yesterday. Is that right, Trish? Was it yesterday morning? So I have the funeral tomorrow. Be in prayer for the Perry family. How many of you are 35 years of age or older? Would you raise your hand? Get them up high. Some of you need to raise your hands. We're in church. Listen. If you're 35, because you'll remember this, if you're 35 years of age or older, your life is one half spent. That's if you live to be 7. Men, your wives will outlive you by 6 years or on the average. 51% of attendees are over 50 years of age, and that statistic is very relevant because it applies to what our church and what I see now. In 30 years, how many will be at our churches based on the number that I just saw, over 50? Southern Baptists lose 1,000 members a week. Did you know that? Maybe this is the first time in a long time you've been to church. In our denomination, we're losing 1,000 members will show up and not come back. They not only will not come back next week, they won't come back, period, at all. We shut down 10 churches a day. And this is the statistic that once again just drives me passionately to share the gospel, whether it's on Facebook. Many of you know we do a devotion. We're on the radio. For a little old church out in the country, we are striving to make an invisible God visible. Can I get an amen? 96% of churchgoers in our denomination. That's a lot. If you're listening, say amen. 96% of churchgoers have no intention of sharing the gospel or inviting anybody to church. Now, I remind you of that from time to time. This was sent to me, and it really goes hand in glove with the message that I'm going to preach in just a moment, and I'm going to have to condense it and bundle it and cut it a little short. But I wanted to read this to you. Who wrote it? Alfred D. Souza wrote this. We convince ourselves that life will be better after we get married, have a baby, and then another. Then we're frustrated that the kids aren't old enough and we'll be more content when they are. After that, we're frustrated that we have teenagers to deal with. We will certainly be happy when they're out of that stage. We tell ourselves that our life will be complete when our partner gets his or her act together, and when we get a nicer car or we're able to go on a nice holiday, when we retire. The truth is, there is no better time to be happy than right now. If not now, when? Your life will always be filled with challenges. It's best to admit this to yourself and decide to be happy anyway. Alfred Souza said, for a long time, it seemed to me that life was about to begin, real life, but there was always some obstacle in the way, something to be gotten through first, some unfinished business, time still to be served, or a debt to be paid. Then life would begin. At last it dawned on me that these obstacles were my life. This perspective has helped me to see that there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So treasure every moment that you have, and treasure it more because you shared it with someone special. Special enough to spend your time, and remember that time waits for no one. So stop waiting until you lose 10 pounds. Stop waiting until you gain 10 pounds, until you have kids, until your kids leave the house, until you start to work, until you retire, until you get married, until you get divorced, until Friday night, until Sunday morning, until you get a new car, a new home, until your car or home is paid off, until spring, until summer, until winter, until your song comes on, until you've had a drink. There is no better time than right now. Happiness is a journey, not a destination. Work like you don't need money, love like you've never been hurt, and dance like no one's watching. Can I get an amen? Go to Matthew chapter 25. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, if you want incredible blessings, you have to consciously engage in your everyday world. Practice becomes aware of the opportunities right in front of you to make someone's life a little better. It's our responsibility as a church to help someone in need, to give an encouraging word or to lighten a load. And so I want you to open your eyes and your hearts to the Word of God. Jesus often taught on the importance of seeing and seizing opportunities to bless others. This passage that I'm about to read to you in Matthew 25 is a passage that has become commonly known as the Great Compassion. By the way, that word compassion in the Greek means to come alongside of. So it